بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
For the entirety of his blessed life, this was his spiritual heartbeat, the center of the earth, the first house of Allah, the Qibla of humanity. The Prophet of Allah, Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was born here. The Kaaba was central to Makkah's social and economic life. In his youth, he would play a pivotal role at a key moment of its reconstruction. From a mountain peak overlooking it, would he begin to receive divine revelation. And from foothills near it, would he establish his base and call his people to Tawheed. Here at the Kaaba was he persecuted and insulted, and from here he was transported to be honored with a reception with the divine. He would be heartbroken as he looked back, driven out from his cherished homeland. He returned later only to find his path blocked, and later entry to be permitted with strings attached. Ultimately, he returned to Allah's home as a liberator and cleanser with the garb of magnanimity. And now, at the cusp of completing his mission, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls him back for one last time to complete his deen and shine a light for eternity to humanity. For over 20 years, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been leading the battle of light against darkness. He went on until the call of Tawheed proved to be so successful that it left the worldly powers bedazzled. Islam prevailed over all of Arabia. It removed all traces of Jahiliyyah from the horizon of the peninsula. Not only was the worship of idols terminated, but their very traces were obliterated. Scattered people and tribes were united, and man moved from the worship of fellow man to the worship of Allah. All people were slaves of Allah. They became beloved brothers, obeying Allah's rules. Islam had freed humanity of superstitions, illusions, and corruption. The stage was now set for a final glorious chapter in the seerah.
How Mubarak is the life of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his teachings, that every aspect connected to him becomes ilm and becomes knowledge and becomes inspiration and becomes enlightenment and becomes nur and hidayat for one who learns it.
Ma dhakar ibn Umar Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam illa baka. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, for his entire life, whenever the mention of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was touched, approached, discussed, tears would trickle down his eyes uncontrollably.
The Anbiya of old also undertook the Hajj. Some migrated to the Kaaba after the destruction of their nations, and some even passed away there. Continuing in the path of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam also undertook the Hajj a number of times, even before it was formally enshrined as a pillar of deen.
There's a narration from Jubayr ibn Mut'im radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who took a long time to become Muslim. He says that in the days of ignorance, he says, أَضْلَلْتُ بَعِيرًا لِي. He said, I lost one of my camels one time. فَذَهَبْتُ أَطْلُبُهُ يَوْمَ عَرَفَةً. So I went looking for that camel on the day of Arafah. فَرَأَيْتُ النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَاقِفًا فِي عَرَفَةً. So I saw the Prophet ﷺ standing in Arafah. So he said, I thought to myself, مَا شَأْنُهُ هَاهُنَا. What is he doing over here? But I didn't ask him anything at that point. So what do we know about the Prophet ﷺ's Hajj? You might be surprised to know that the Prophet ﷺ indeed did multiple Hajjs before the Hijrah, before the migration. You have the narration of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which says two Hajjs for sure before the migration. And some scholars say that the Prophet ﷺ did the Hajj every single year between prophethood and the migration. However, he would avoid the things that Quraysh would do, the idol worship and such. Just like the Prophet ﷺ would do tawaf around the Kaaba, just like he would pray in front of the Kaaba, but he would not pay heed to the idols that were around the Kaaba. So the Prophet ﷺ would do Hajj on a regular basis, even before the Hijrah.
The season and places for Hajj prior to Hijrah were also the arena for da'wah, for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and searching for a base receptive to his message.
The year after Aam al-Huzn, the year after the year of grief, that the Prophet ﷺ is going out and he's meeting the various tribes that are coming from outside during the nighttime so that the people of Mecca would not know. And he's introducing them to Islam. He's trying with everybody, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's trying with the small tribes, the known tribes, the large tribes, the unknown tribes. He's just going to find anyone that Or he's attempting to find anyone that is going to believe in his message. So he goes out at night and he has with him Abu Bakr and Ali, may Allah be pleased with them. And he talks to these different groups. And suddenly he passes by this group of six young men. And these six young men are there in Mina. And they heard the Prophet ﷺ talking to some of the more known tribes. And they were curious about what the Prophet ﷺ had to say as well. Because these six young men were from Yathrib, and they had been exposed to Jewish tribes that told them about Tawheed, that told them about monotheism, and that also told them about a prophet that was to come. So there they are in Mina on the 11th day of the Hijjah, in the 11th year after prophethood. And that conversation with those six young men was going to change the entire course of history as we have it.
In Dhul-Qa'dah, in the ninth year after Hijrah, the Prophet ﷺ appointed Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu an as the Amir of Hajj and dispatched him to Makkah. 300 Sahaba accompanied him on the journey, where he was to teach people the method of Hajj and announce the impending end to polytheistic practices around the Kaaba.
That year, there were still idolaters in the region. There were still idolaters in the region, which means Hajj that year had people performing Hajj upon Jahiliyyah. So, yes, there were no idols around there, but the people of Jahiliyyah, some, they would come and perform Hajj, perform the Tawaf, for example, whilst naked, where they felt that the clothes is made by man and it's impure and the Kaaba is pure, so we should go with the clothes given to us by Allah, which is our bare skin. Allahul Musta'an. So, these scenes would be there. Alright? And remember, there were polytheists that had an agreement between themselves and the Muslims. So they would remain upon their faith and upon their way, and they had a running agreement with the Muslims, and the Muslims respect this, which means there would be polytheists there.
There is a report that the Prophet himself said that he does not want to go for Hajj because there is going to be a mixing of pagans and of Muslims. And when the Prophet ﷺ had the opportunity to go for Hajj in the 9th year of the Hijrah, he said that it is not appropriate for me to go when such people are still there. And so he wanted to make sure that this was the final year that any pagan performed Hajj. And so the 9th year of the Hijrah, it's an interesting fact here, or an interesting tidbit, it is pretty much the only year in which a large group of Muslims and a large group of pagans, they both performed the Hajj together. The Muslims were doing their rituals and the pagans were doing their rituals. Because again, realize that not all of Arabia had embraced Islam by the 9th year of the Hijrah. So the Prophet ﷺ decided to send Abu Bakr with a group of Muslims to go perform the Hajj and to lay the foundations for him to perform the Hajj the next year.
Ayat from Surah Tawbah were revealed that contained important directives for the mushrikeen. The Prophet ﷺ felt that announcing these verses should be made by a member of his family, and hence sent Ali radiallahu an to join Abu Bakr.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that we have now cut off, Allah has cut off his ties, and the Prophet ﷺ has cut off his ties from all the pagans. And Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu had four primary messages that he had to deliver to the pagans across the Arabian Peninsula. Number one, لا يدخل الجنة إلا مؤمن. No one shall enter Jannah except a believer in Allah and His Messenger. The second point, that no one shall perform tawaf naked. Number three, the third thing that Ali had to announce to the pagans, that any contract that the Prophet ﷺ has with any tribe, it shall expire at the end of its expiration date. There will be no renewal. No pagan tribe shall be given renewal. And every other tribe, they have a general treaty right now. Right now we're enforcing this treaty. What is that treaty? You have 4 months to make up your minds. Do you want to live in Arabia as a pagan? Then you have to move out of it for 4 months. Or do you wish to embrace Islam? Then you may live permanently in the Arabian Peninsula. And then the fourth and the final clause that the Prophet ﷺ told Ali to announce was that no pagan shall ever perform Hajj after this year. That is the final year in the history of mankind that Muslims and pagans both perform the Hajj. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا.
There's an ikhtilaf. When did Allah reveal the verse of Hajj? And what is the verse of Hajj? Surah Ali Imran, verse 97. Surah Ali Imran, verse 97. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. That mankind owes to Allah the pilgrimage to the house, whoever is able to do so.
Scholars differ. When did the Hajj become obligatory? And some say the 7th year, some say the 8th, some say the 9th. And the strongest opinion seems to be that Hajj became obligatory after Abu Bakr returned from the Hajj. And that the Hajj of Abu Bakr was not was before Allah made it obligatory, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never delayed any obligation that he had. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always performed Allah's obligations on time, and therefore the strongest opinion is that the Hajj became obligatory really in the beginning of the 10th year of the Hijrah.
It was only after Sayyiduna Abu Bakr and Ali radiallahu anhum had fulfilled their role, and Makkah was to be purified of mushrikeen, and the calendar, which had been tempered with by the polytheists, had returned to its correct natural cycle, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afforded His beloved the opportunity to go for Hajj.
We also learn, brothers and sisters in Islam, the honor that Allah has bestowed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Allah did not want the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do Umrah whilst the idolaters were practicing their jahiliyyah around the Kaaba and during the Hajj. He wanted to purify the scene before his purified messenger arrived to the scene for the sanctified and purified act of Hajj.
Responding to the invitation of Allah, the Prophet ﷺ made his intention and in Dhul Qa'dah of the 10th year after Hijrah, began preparing for Hajj and invited all who aspired to join him.
As well, he began telling them, خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. Take your rites of Hajj from me, because he only did one Hajj. He only did one Hajj, and therefore all of the fiqh of Hajj comes from this one Hajj.
This was to be Hajjatul Balagh, because the Prophet ﷺ would teach various aspects of deen and demonstrate all rites pertaining to Hajj verbally and practically. It was Hajjatul Islam because it was the only Hajj the Prophet ﷺ performed after it became obligatory. And it was Hajjatul Wada, or the farewell pilgrimage.
The people from the time of the Prophet began calling this Hajj Hajjatul Wada. The name Hajjatul Wada, the farewell Hajj, was given even in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We learn in a hadith in Sahih Muslim that Ibn Umar says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood on the day of sacrifice, Yawm al-Nahr, on the day of sacrifice, and he said, this is hadha yawmu al-hajj al-akbar. This is the day of the big Hajj, al-hajj al-akbar. And he kept on saying, O Allah, bear witness, Allahumma fashhad, wa wadda'a an-nas. And he was bidding farewell to the people, saying goodbye to the people. So the people began calling it, this must be the Hajjatul Wada'. This is the Hajj that he's bidding farewell. And Ibn Umar said, we did not understand the implication. They're calling it Hajjatul Wada', and they're not understanding what does Wada' mean over here. Which is that, what does it mean? The Prophet is going to pass away. It didn't click in their minds.
And this is a key message here. All the other aspects of Islam had been completed, meaning that the mission of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, had concluded. The Tawheed, the message of Tawheed, it had spread far and wide. People had embraced Islam. The conquest or the victory of Mecca had taken place. As the Quran makes a mention, flocks of people embraced Islam and came into the beautiful religion of Islam. So apparently all the injunctions were clarified, and the Prophet's objective of being sent as a messenger had now concluded. The only thing that was left for him to demonstrate is how to perform the final pillar of Islam, and that is the Hajj, the pilgrimage. And therefore this was the year that he demonstrated that physically himself.
It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy to the Ummah that it would experience such a celebration of unity and a last glimpse of the leader of humanity. And it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor to his beloved that he would, even in this worldly abode, physically see the fruits of his call and years of patient sacrifice.
What better company can there be than being with the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him? Imagine the honor of being with the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, in pilgrimage. We talk about, you know, there are many groups out there and agencies and organizations who take groups for Umrah and Hajj. And many imams are approached. I'm approached by a number of groups and organizations to take them for Umrah and their groups for Umrah. And, you know, imagine being with the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, for pilgrimage.
Imagine the emotions and the emotions and things that had happened along the way. And you see, the last Nabi, you're not going with any Hajj tour operator or any traveler or any sheikh or any individual. You're going with the paragon of Allah's creation. No words of any language can aptly encapsulate the good fortune that Sahaba had. When somebody came to a Sahabi and he said, "Tuba li hatayni al-aynatayn allati ra'ata Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam," that I've just come here to look at those eyes that had the privilege of seeing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam daily. يرتدي صفحة زلل